Books.
We're just so fortunate to have this wonderful family of independent bookstores to supply our book picks every single solitary week. This morning, we welcome the Bennington Bookshop. After spending lots of time reading dozens of books and studying up, owner Phil Lewis joins us this Tuesday morning with just a gorgeous list of books to share. Phil, good morning, and thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joe, and good morning to you and to the listeners.
A great pleasure to have you. Where would you like to begin?
Well, the first book I'm going to talk about is Bowl Away by Elizabeth McCracken. Have you read anything by Elizabeth McCracken?
Well, I have read this book, and I did not until I met Elizabeth McCracken, who handed me a copy and said, read it.
Okay.
and I found it difficult to say no, and I did, and I loved it.
Yes, I loved it too. Yeah, it's just really unusual, but good fun. Anyway, Bowl Away opens with the discovery of a woman's body in the local cemetery. Not too unusual, you might think, but this one is above ground and alive. In the bag beside her, there are an abandoned corset, a small bowling ball, a candle pin, and 15 pounds of gold. This is Bertha Truitt's entrance into the lives of the people of Salford, Massachusetts, at the beginning of the 20th century. But who is Bertha Truitt, and where is she from? The first two people on the scene are Joe Weir, the cemetery watchman, and Leviticus Sprague, a doctor from Canada. Joe, a ten-bin bowling aficionado, is intrigued by the candle pin and ball. Bertha recognizes the gleam in his eye and, once recovered, hires him to manage the candle pin alley she opens. She scandalizes the town by marrying the Canadian doctor. Truitt's Alley quickly becomes the social center of the town. Every month, Bertha opens the Truitt's Alleys for a day-long fete with activities for children in the morning and a full-blown party in the evening. Truitt's is where people meet their friends, their workmates, and their future partners and spouses. On a visit to Boston in 1919, Bertha is killed in an accident. The people of Truitt's mourn her passing. Then Leviticus dies in a strange fire. A mysterious man from Maine arrives, claiming to be Bertha's son, Nahum Truitt. He has plans for Truitt's Alleys, and some feathers are going to get ruffled. Bowl Away is a quirky novel about three generations of a family whose lives revolve around the sport of candlepin bowling. The characters are rich and colourful and beautifully realised. McCracken's writing sparkles. Her humour is infectious. This is a delightful novel.
The novel is Bowl Away by Elizabeth McCracken. Excellent. What is next?
Next up is Deep Creek, Finding Hope in the High Country by Pam Houston. Pam Houston's writing often explores themes of relationships, the environment and the outdoors, animals and childhood trauma. In her latest book, Deep Creek, she revisits all of these themes, and the overarching message is one of hope. Here's a quote. How do I find hope on a dying planet? And if there is no hope to be found, how do I live in its absence? In what state of being? Respect? Tenderness? Unmitigated love? The rich and sometimes deeply clarifying dreamscape of vast inconsolable grief? Houston asks. By way of an answer, she has written a moving memoir that reflects on her 25 years of living on a ranch in Colorado, her connection to the land, and her love for the animals with whom she shares her life. There are so many touching vignettes in this book. There's a story about spending hours on a bitter day breaking up the ice around a water trough because her old horse is too scared to drink out of buckets, but afraid to walk over the ice to get to the trough. Why does she do it? Because, she says, the sun is still up and the snow is in the forecast, and I love my old nervous horse. There's another story about walking into an area devastated by fire. Everything is blackened, dead. But there, in the midst of the destruction, she happens upon a small swamp. It's an oasis of green in the ashes of the forest, and Houston takes it as a sign that, whatever we end up doing to the planet, it will survive in some form, with or without us. Here's another quote. The language of the wilderness is the most beautiful language we have, and it is our job to sing it until and even after it is gone, no matter how much it hurts.
The name of the book is Deep Creek, Finding Hope in the High Country by Pam Houston.
Next up, we've got We're All in This Together by Amy Jones, a Canadian writer. Kate Parker is losing her mind. She forgets the names of things. She even forgets the names of the members of her family. She certainly forgets why she's in a barrel floating down the Kaministiquia River towards the Kakabeka Falls. Kate survives the plunge over the 130-foot waterfall, but now lies in a coma in a hospital. A video of her trip over the falls quickly goes viral, with Kate gaining instant fame as the conqueror of Kakabeka. We're All in This Together follows the members of the Parker family as they deal with the aftermath of Kate's adventure. There are tensions, old jealousies, and hurt that still smarts. The story is told from the viewpoint of the different members of the family. There's Kate's husband, Walter, stoic in the face of Kate's growing eccentricity. There are the twins, Finn and Nikki, engaged in a never-ending battle of one-upmanship. There's Sean, who, after years on the streets, arrived at the Parker's house as a teenager one day, and never left. Then there's London, Nikki's daughter, involved in an online relationship with a much older man. The Parker family is slowly unraveling, it seems. Over the 4 days following Kate's exploit, as the family members fret about her condition, we learn more about each of these people. As they spend time together, they learn more about one another and begin to see the past in a new light. Then Kate goes missing. A thorough search of the hospital turns up nothing. But Walter thinks he knows where she's gone. We're All in This Together is a touching novel. Jones's handling of the characters and their vulnerabilities is masterful. The story unfolds gently, slowly revealing the personalities of the members of the family. There are so many heartfelt moments. And then there's the ending. This is a love story told with love.
We're All in This Together by Amy Jones is the name of the novel. All right.
Next up is The Weight of a Piano by Chris Kander. The Weight of a Piano opens in the forests of Romania, with piano maker Julius Blutner walking amongst the spruce trees, tapping their trunks with his walking stick and listening for the music hidden inside them. In this way, he selects the best wood for the pianos he crafts in his workshop in Leipzig. One of those trees becomes Blutner number 66,825, the piano of this story. Russia, 1962. 8-year-old Katya accompanies a piano tuner father on his rounds. One of her favorite clients is the blind German who lives in their apartment building. He plays his piano every day and long into the night, until one day the music stops. The German has died, leaving his beloved piano to Katya because, as he says in his will, even a blind man could see the music beating in your heart. The piano becomes the first great love of her life. California, 2012. Clara Lundy has just been dumped by her boyfriend and is forced to move to a new apartment. She has few belongings, so the move is easy enough, apart from the weighty Blutner upright piano her father gave her for her 12th birthday. Her parents were killed in a house fire shortly after that birthday. The piano, in temporary storage at the time of the fire, is the only physical link Clara has with her parents. But she's never learned to play it, and, frustrated at having to move it once again, she advertises it for sale. the prospective purchaser has plans to use the piano for a photo series in memory of his mother. Clara follows the photographer as he takes the piano into the desert for his photo shoot, and as they get to know each other a little better, they begin to realize that the connection between the piano's past and present is much stronger than they first thought. But Clara also learns that the piano is no longer the fond link to her parents she thought it was. It has become a burden. The weight of the piano is weighing her down.
The Weight of a Piano by Chris Kander. All right.
Okay, next up is a memoir, The Salt Path by Raina Wynn. In 2013, Raina Wynn and her husband, Moth, suffer two terrible blows to their way of life. Moth is diagnosed with a terminal illness, and the couple is evicted from the home where they have lived all their married lives. Hiding under the stairs as the bailiffs pound on the door, they reflect on their options. They have no money and no home. "We could just walk," Raina suggests to her husband.
"Walk?"
"Yeah, just walk." And so Raina and Moth decide to walk England's Southwest Coastal Path. The Southwest Coastal Path runs for 630 miles, from Minehead in Somerset, through Devon and Cornwall, to Poole in Dorset. This is magnificent country. It's a land of beauty, of history, and of legend. Tintagel Castle in Cornwall has long been linked to King Arthur and his knights. The myriad bays and coves, once the hangout of smugglers and wreckers, draw artists and craftspeople from around the United Kingdom and beyond. Raina and Moth set out with the bare essentials, backpacks, sleeping bags, and a tent. To save money, they sleep wild as often as they can. Along the way, they meet a host of interesting characters, including a prophet who predicts they'll spend a day walking with a tortoise, a prophecy that comes true towards the end of the book. There's a sense of camaraderie with the other long-distance walkers, a shared understanding of what life is about, and a gritty determination to keep going. The Salt Path is a reflective and thoughtful memoir. The pace is measured, like the path, step by step. Wynn's mood swings up and down, but slowly, as they walk the rugged path, she comes to the realization that this moment, this here and now, is all that matters. That walking is purpose enough and gives meaning to the day. And that by enduring, people can overcome adversity and find happiness. This is an inspiring read.
The Salt Path by Raina Wynn. We have time for one more.
Okay, the last one is Wonderland by Jennifer Cody Epstein. New York, 1989. Ava Fisher has just received news that her estranged mother, Ilsa, has died. Their relationship has always been fraught with unanswered questions. But for Ilsa, it was never quite the right time to give Ava the answers she craved. Who am I? Who was my father? And why did you abandon me for a year at the end of the Second World War? Ava and Ilsa have not spoken since Ilsa visited New York 12 years previously. The visit was a disaster, prompting Ava to cut all ties to her mother. Ava even went as far as informing her daughter, Sophie, that Ilsa had died. Now Ava sits in her New York apartment going through her mother's last effects, a package of letters Ilsa has written over the years, but never sent. The letters are addressed to Ilsa's childhood friend, Renata, and Renata's brother, Franz. Who are these people, and where are they now? Reading through the letters, Ava finds disturbing answers to some of her questions. Wonderland documents the incremental rise to power of the Nazis in 1930s Germany. The story is told from the perspective of three women, the childhood friends, Ilsa and Renata, and Ilsa's daughter, Eva. It's a powerful read. It reminds us of the sense of helplessness brought on by name-calling, of marches and chanting, and the day-to-day hurt caused by pettiness and spite. Epstein's handling of the events of Kristallnacht and the nasty impact on the daily lives of individuals in the immediate aftermath is superb. Wunderland is a timely reminder of the excesses that can result from unchallenged hate.
The name of the book is Wunderland by Jennifer Cody Epstein. For more information on the Bennington Bookshop in Bennington, Vermont, you can go to their website, benningtonbookshop.com. Phil Lewis, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for sharing with us.
Thanks again, Joe.
Always a pleasure. Again, BenningtonBookshop.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.